Glad you're here. Would you pray with me for a moment, please? Father, as we rejoice just in what we have just heard and seen, and the children that have come and led us so well in worship this morning, we thank you. Thank you for their energy, their life, their vitality, the reminder of things that we sometimes forget to rejoice, Lord, in you. Thank you for their joy. And thank you that it's contagious, and I pray that it will spread to every heart, every pew, every home, and every ear that's listening this morning. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. You can take your seats. Welcome again this morning. I just want to talk to a very select group of people. This message, I am certain, is not for everyone. But I want to talk to those of you who struggle with fear or worry or anxiety. The rest of you can check out this morning. But if that is something you struggle with, and it's certainly something that I struggle with, then you'll want to hear what God has to say to us this morning. In Psalm 27, as we continue our series, Psalms for the Family, David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" That's one of those verses you need to camp on every now and then. The Lord is my light and salvation. Who do I need to be afraid of? Who is there that I should fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries, my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire, to seek in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. When I was in seminary, I had a job, part-time job, a nighttime job, at a service station near our apartment on Grinstead Drive. If you know Louisville, Kentucky, you know approximately where that is. And in that job, we only had one car at that time, and I needed to work late at night. Pam was expecting our first child, Allison, and I didn't want to leave her stranded without a car, so I rode a bike to work. Wasn't that terribly far, but it was at nighttime. My bike had no lights. It had probably no reflectors, but I rode that bike. And on my way, but the part of the path coming back to my apartment was through an edge of Cave Hill Cemetery. Now, Cave Hill Cemetery, you might recognize this, is the burial place of Colonel Sanders. The graveyard is haunted by millions of chicken ghosts. They're everywhere. You can smell fried chicken when you get close to his grave. But as I was driving home or riding home one night late, it was rainy, it had been raining, a car passed me, splashed me with water. I was trying to get out of the way. I hit a curb, and ended up flipping myself over into this wet culvert covered with ivy on the edge of Cape Hill Cemetery in the dark. Now, I was mid-20s, a man, I guess. I thought I was until that moment. And as I was laying there in the dark, I began to envision zombies. I mean, zombie and people, you know, hands coming up out of the ground to pull me down to an early death and to eat my brains and to do all, you know, you have all these imaginations that happen. I mean, I got out of that place. It was terrifying. Everything I had imagined was not real, but my fear was. Real fear can come about as a result of false thinking, things that are not true. Now, that's not to say there are not things that we genuinely are experiencing that may provoke fear. We have had a very, very, very trying week since Mother's Day last Sunday. The death of a young lady in our community, a tragic, tragic, senseless situation that has wrecked families and members of our community. It's been an unbelievable thing to see happen. And I'm going to promise you this. A number of your homes have been visited this week by fear. What if that had been my child? What if that was my daughter? My child that perpetuated something like that. What if? And if it could happen out here in peaceful, idyllic, isolated St. Johns County, Florida, is there anywhere that's really safe? Now, those are the kind of questions that fear provokes. And it tightens this strangling noose of worry and anxiety around our neck. Actually, the word worry, the English word that we use, worry, is a derivative of a German word, Wergen, which means to strangle. Have you ever felt you're being strangled by worry? I mean, it literally is cutting the oxygen off in your life. Some people say that's how it feels. And folks, no home is exempt from this. No family is immune from this. We're all susceptible to this intruder. We've seen the face of fear many times over this past year, haven't you? You felt those bony fingers scraping down your spine, haven't you? Over things that you imagined might happen, thought might happen, or maybe things that really are happening around you. But, you know, while fear is going to come to visit you, you don't have to make up the guest room and let it stay. I want to talk this morning about how do you kick it to the curb when it comes knocking. How do you get fear out of your life, out of your mind, out of your heart? How do you keep it from taking up squatter's rights in your home and in your soul? And there's a lot of counsel out there in the bookstores and grocery stores. Great place to go for wise counsel, of course. Please take any of those magazines. They're all wonderful. Any of those books, they're all great. I've looked through all of them. They're just such incredible counsel. And basically what they tell you is just pretend it's not happening and you won't worry about it. I mean, that's the summary of a lot of it. Think about something else. Go to your happy place in your mind. Well, what if your happy place has ghosts and skeletons and scary stuff? Reality is the world doesn't know what to do with this. An Eastern Swami named Mehir Baba gave counsel a number of years ago to his devotees who came to climb a mountain to see him and hear his wisdom. And his counsel basically came down to four words: don't worry, be happy. A young man named Bobby McFerrin heard him and believed him, wrote a song called Don't Worry, Be Happy. Made it one of the most popular a cappella songs ever recorded. So the reality is, fear is among us. You are not exempt from fear if you are a believing person, if you are a person who truly trusts in Jesus Christ. But you know, there's even a psalm. Psalm 112 says that the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. Do you ever hear that song, that verse? The righteous person is not afraid of bad news. How do you do with bad news? The righteous person, it says, will never be moved. His heart is steadfast. And he will not fear bad news. So today, let me just go back to Psalm 27, our primary text today, and I want to just pull a couple of things out. We don't have time to really pull this psalm into pieces and really look at it in detail as much as it deserves that attention. But I want to pull three things out that may, and folks, this is not, I hope you don't keep this in an academic context, in an esoteric kind of setting, and just stick it on a notepad somewhere and forget about it. I hope you will actually take this with you this week, especially if you're dealing with worry and anxiety and fear today. And the first one is, and stay with me, it takes a moment to get to the center of this. The first thought I want to share with you is this: exalt God's presence. This is what David says he did. Now, David is giving a lot of what-if circumstances. What if an army attacks me? What if a foe comes after me? What if people are going to rush into where I'm living and try to take my life? What if my parents forsake me? None of those things have happened, but he said, even if they did, I'm going to have confidence in the Lord. You see, the world says, act like these bad things aren't going to happen. Folks, we live in a world where bad things are going to happen. We saw that last week. We live in that kind of world. We're not exempt from those kinds of realities. Again, David's parents never forsook him. He was not facing an army when he wrote this psalm. But he's writing up, okay, worst case scenario. Go to the worst case scenario in your life. What's the worst possible thing that could happen? And David said, whatever that is, I have confidence in the Lord. This past week, I had a visit with a cardiologist, and he's decided that I need to have a heart catheterization this week. And he said, you know, there's a chance we may do nothing. There's a chance we put stents in, and there's a 5% chance we have to do open heart surgery. Now, guess what I've thought about for a week? I've gone to the worst case scenario. Guess who needs to hear this sermon more than anybody else in here today? This guy. So y'all be quiet so I can hear myself, okay, while I'm preaching this morning, because I really need to hear this. But human nature focuses on the worst case scenario. We live, as one writer said in a book, with a vague sense of panic rumbling under us. You ever felt that panic rumbling under you? This, can't even define it. I don't know what it is, but something's rumbling under me. So here's what David said he does. When these things, here's how he stays confident. Here's how he deals with fear. Here is how his heart stays steadfast and immovable. And by the way, I wish mine had when I found out this news. It didn't. It took me a while to get my heart settled down. And I've got some folks in here that can testify to the moment that I was finding this out, because I called them, said, here's what's going on. So I did not just go through it like a steer in a blizzard. I had to work on getting my heart settled down. I did, but took a little bit. But David said, here's what I do. One thing, verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Now, actually, the one thing has three component parts. He said, I'm looking for one thing. And then he tells us three things. But he said, this is one thing. This is the most important thing. He says, number one, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, he doesn't say I want to live at church. That's not what he's talking about. I want to dwell in the dwelling in the house of the Lord is again, a metaphor for just, Lord, I want to be in your presence. I want to dwell in your presence. Not, I want to come in and out. I want to visit on Sunday and then I'll see you next week. I want to dwell. I want to stay there. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Secondly, I want to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, what is the most beautiful thing to you? You know, the problem that we have, and folks, I'm going to tell you why we struggle with anxiety. We struggle with anxiety because something in our life is more beautiful to us than the Lord. I'm going to drop you in a deep hole here. Something in your life has become more beautiful to you, more important to you, more precious to you than the Lord. And guess what? That thing can be taken from you. That person can be taken from you. Only one thing cannot be taken from you, and that's the Lord. And when the Lord is the source of your joy, the Lord's okay. Sundays are great. I love coming to church and getting some chills and having a good time. But that's not the source of my joy. The source of my joy is fill in the blank. What is it? Who is it? Well, the Bible has a word for that situation and that person. They're called idols. We have put something else in the place that only the Lord belongs. And we have become idolaters. You cannot listen. You know what I've learned? Please know I've done this and I've tried it and I know it works. I know this works. As long as my mind is dwelling on the Lord, I'm never anxious or afraid. When you come to me and say, Pastor, I'm really afraid, I'm really anxious, the diagnostic piece of that's very simple. You're not dwelling on the Lord. You're dwelling on something else because you will never be anxious, you will never be afraid if your mind. Now, you got to fight your mind to keep your mind on the Lord. But you want an end to anxiety and fear and worry? Listen, where's your mind? Where are your thoughts? David said, I want to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Inquire in his temple. I want to seek the Lord. You know, part of seeking the Lord, and the last part of the psalm gets into this, teach me your way. Part of seeking the Lord is seeking his way. I want to know his will. I want to know his presence. I want to know his, and this is interesting. David comes back to this over and over again. His face. I want to know his face. You want to know somebody. You don't relate to somebody by getting to know their back, right? How do you relate to someone? How do you relate to your spouse? How do you relate to your children? Well, you relate to them how? Through their face. Now, somebody called me out on this a little bit today and said, we weren't sure it was you, but then we saw you walking, and then so we knew it was you. So maybe it's your feet. But anyway, it's your face. This is how we know someone. And this is how we know who the person is. And this is what David said. I want to know, Lord. I want to know who you are. I want to seek your face. Don't turn your face from me. I want to seek your face. I want to know you face to face. I want to dwell in your presence. I want to seek your face. I want to gaze upon your beauty. And I want to know your will. Teach me your counsel. Teach me your way. All right, now. I almost blew the whole sermon up there, so let me... There's two other parts to this. This is really good. I'm enjoying this. I don't know about y'all. I need this today. So, Secondly, you want to deal with your anxiety, exchange your load. Do you feel, don't raise your hand, do you feel burdened today? Is there just a load, like you're dragging something in your life? It's just, oh. Okay, here's what's going on. You picked up the wrong load. You're carrying a load you're not supposed to carry. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You know what Jesus is saying there? If you'll let me, your burden is always going to be easy. And if you're carrying a hard burden, you picked up a burden you're not supposed to pick up. When he said, take my yoke upon you, that's a picture, that was a farming analogy, farming picture. The people that they would break in a young ox, I guess they still do in some places, you would break in a young ox by putting it in a yoke with an older ox, a stronger ox, and the older ox and the stronger ox would carry the majority of the load, would press the plow forward and carry the load, and all the younger one had to do is just stay in the yoke and walk along. If the older yoke turns, the ox turns left, the younger one goes left. If they turn right, the other one goes right. Okay, you seen a picture? Jesus said, get in the yoke with me. I'll carry your burden for you. All you got to do is stay in step with me. If I turn left, you turn left. If I turn right, you turn right. Take my yoke. My yoke. If your yoke is heavy, you're under the wrong yoke. Well, but the Bible says, Tim, come on. The Bible says that the Lord will not put any more on me than I can bear. You know, I don't know. I think I'm getting close. But the Lord said he would not put any more on me than I could carry. He did not say that. That is not in your Bible. That is not. Maybe Maher Balba said that, but God never said that. You're not supposed to carry any burden at all. God's not just dropping a little bit more. Well, let's see if we can break him on this one. Let's see, there's one more. Let's see what happens. That's not what God's doing. That's sadistic. That's not how God operates. That's not how your Savior treats you. He's not trying to break you down with a burden. He's trying to give you, let me, just walk with me. My load is easy. My burden is light. Why would you want another one? Why would you want to go anywhere else? All right, last part of the sermon. Expel your anxiety. How do you expel anxiety? Well, let me ask you this question. How do you expel weeds? You kill the weed, you pluck the weed, but what else do? You better grow grass. Because if you don't, what's going to happen? Weed's going to grow back. You know, a lot of times we deal with anxiety like we deal with weed. We just pluck the weed, and then we go, oh, there it is again, coming back, and we start worrying about something again. What happened? You didn't grow grass. Let me tell you what I mean. Paul said, don't have any anxiety about anything. Don't feel anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, you know what that word supplication means? Desperation. With prayer, with desperate prayer, make your request known to God. And then the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. How do you rejoice in the Lord? Well, that's the grass you got to put back. You have to pray. You have to be thankful. You have to have supplication. But listen. God wants you to have joy, not when your situation is resolved. Okay, here I'm talking to me again. Not when your situation is resolved. God wants you to have joy now. You need to have joy now. But I don't know what's going to, you need to have joy now. Yeah, but you don't know that, you need to have joy now. This is what the Bible says. You are to rejoice in the Lord. It's a command and it's a choice. What do you want to do? If you're not joyful, and some of y'all, I'll bust you today, you're not. If you're not joyful, you're being disobedient. But common sense, if you're not joyful, you're just making a terrible choice. Who doesn't want to be joyful? Anybody? I mean, does anybody just not want to be joyful? Just, I mean, really, if you just don't want to, raise your hand. I'd love to see you. I just don't want to be. I don't like joy. I don't want to be joy. I like being sad. I like being miserable. I like tears. I like crying. I like just being unhappy. Anybody? That's what you're choosing. And the Bible wouldn't command it if you couldn't do it. You can choose joy. You don't. I don't know why. You can choose a big burden to carry around. I don't know why you do it, but we do. And you can choose to handle all these fears by yourself. But when the Lord invites you into His presence to know His face, why would you? Why would you? When your fears will dissipate in His presence. All right, let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. What a, again, an incredible morning to see the children, to hear their voices, and to see what they have brought to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you meet us in our fears, that you meet us in our battles, that you meet us in our issues. And Lord, that you take away the fears, that you take away the anxiety. If we will dwell with you, if we will seek your face, if we will gaze upon your beauty more than any other thing in our life is beautiful, may we consider you beautiful. More than anything else, Lord, may we seek to walk under your burden, not under one of our own making. May we know joy, not anxiety, peace, not worry and fear. And Father, we thank you for the promise of your word that the righteous man will not fear bad news because his heart is steadfast. Father, today I pray that if there are those this morning, and I know there are those listening, those here today who are ready to come and say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to know that light burden. I want to carry a light burden. I need to lay my cares down, all my cares, casting all of my cares before him. Come, folks, at Jesus' invitation, come today. Lay your life before him. Father, have your way in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, church family. You come.